And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, how are we doing on winning?
So much winning, you know.
So much winning. First of all, the war in Iran is over, right? Went on for 10 days, and we won.
We won, except that it's still going on.
Oh. And who's winning?
So we're winning on top of winning.
Yeah. Winning on top of winning. Meanwhile, it seems like they're maybe sending troops to occupy Karg Island. Or that doesn't really matter what part of Iran they occupy. They're moving 2,500 troops who don't do anything except invade on land. So why are they getting moved if not to invade on land?
So we've gone from an air war to a land war.
Well, what a shock.
Yes.
What a shock.
But and, of course, every day there's different messages coming out from different folks. Marco Rubio announces one thing or one reason, and Pete Hegseth says another. J.D. Vance goes, you know, on these ultra-right radio shows or podcasts, says something else. And of course, Trump
every says day it all. Has, he says it all.
He says it all.
Yeah.
We're up, we're down, we're over, we're out. You know, it doesn't matter. He contradicts himself, and he contradicts his administration.
I think that the only one who told the truth and who had it right was Carolyn Leavitt, who said the reason we're at war is because Trump felt it in his gut.
Yeah.
That sounds reasonable. It's insane, but it's typical.
But it's, yes. And I don't know how we're going to figure out whether it's over or not. But,
well, she explained it's over when he says it's over, and we've won when he says we've won. And even if it doesn't seem like it's over because they're still fighting, and even if it doesn't seem like it's over because the other side says that they haven't given up, if they functionally, if the Americans say that they've gotten all that they want, then the war is over and the other side is lost.
Yeah,
if that's not a religious approach to war, I don't know what is.
Yeah. And we're in a messaging situation, but this reminds me that earlier this week I saw actually on X, they had a video of, or maybe it wasn't on X. I think it was on X, of Chris Christie. And he told a story. Remember, he was pretty active at the beginning of the first Trump administration, until Jared Kushner got his revenge and had him booted out.
Right.
And Christie told the story that he was home one day, and he got a call from Trump, who was at Bedminster, which is not far from Christie's home. And he said, I want you to come over and have dinner with me. So Christie goes over, and they have dinner, and they're talking. And Trump explains that if you say something enough times that it becomes true, that's his philosophy. It's not that people will believe it to be true.
It is true.
It becomes true. And it's sort of like how he convinces himself of things that aren't true to become true.
That's Goebbels' line. If you say something enough times, people will say it's true.
Well, people will believe it, but this is, you're actually they may believe it to be true, but it isn't. But this way, you make it into the truth.
You mean to say if you say 2 and 2 is 5 enough times, 2 and 2 will become 5?
That's correct.
I see.
So when you multiply 2 plus 2, times 3, it becomes 15. not 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the example.
Right.
So, of course, and that's why things are so screwed up, because you can't fool Mother Nature, all right?
Right.
Saying something, you know, we're back to Lincoln. Calling a tail a leg of a horse doesn't make it a leg.
Right. That's right. But all these people go along with that.
Yes. And that's, you know, the authoritarian approach to things is to bully people and to lord over people into the fact that they won't contradict you. You know, nobody will come out and say the emperor has no clothes, even though the emperor has no clothes. There was a good example this week when Trump ordered shoes from Florsheim and gave them out, signed the boxes and gave them out to members of his cabinet, Rubio, Vance, Lutnick, and a couple others, and said, "These, you know, I like to see people wearing these things." You know, whether he ordered the right size.
Why Florsheim?
He liked the look.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Don't forget, he's all about looks. Now, yeah. You know, I grew up with Florsheims because my dad used to sell Florsheim shoes, and I wear Florsheim shoes.
Oh.
So I've got a, you know, good feeling towards Florsheims. But the fact of the matter is, you know, he didn't call people up and say, "What's your shoe size?" He just ordered them. So who knows who got the right size or not, and who's going to be the one who's going to walk into a cabinet meeting and not wear them. This is part of, you know, the humiliation factor, the belittling factor. You can't even choose your own clothing, what you wear. I mean, it's bad enough that they all, you know, have the blue suits and the red ties, but this is, you know, one step beyond. And he's done this belittling to scores of other people. He, you know, he belittles the military. You're losers, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the military, if you get injured, or if, God forbid, you were killed, you were a loser.
Mm-hmm.
He did this to Mitt Romney, if you remember, when he kind of baited him to come over to talk about what being Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did it to Tim Scott. He called him out of line, remember, in South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and said something that Scott didn't stand for. But, you know, so this is
he
my
did it
guru.
To the president of South Africa. He did it, yes, to Zelensky.
Right.
He does it to right. Everybody.
Right.
The only one he didn't do it to was Mamdani.
And Putin.
Well, Putin, of course.
Right. But Mamdani, yeah.
Right.
And
Putin, who may actually have sex tapes about him.
Yes.
He's got something about it. Got something on him.
Yeah. And Mamdani, I think, has him intimidated because he's seen Mamdani's skills with the media.
Right.
And he's afraid. Mamdani's got as good as skills, if not better skills.
That's right.
And he's quicker and he's smarter.
He's definitely smarter. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, that's a low bar.
Well, okay. Fair enough. In any case, all of these Republicans, it's not that they buy into it. They happily buy into it. They're happy to do it. They want to do it. Hegseth, by this time, in a reasonably run world, would be arrested and on trial at The Hague for war crimes. Trump has violated God knows how many international laws and treaties that the United States has signed, which makes the treaty part of U.S. law. These people are guilty of crimes against humanity and international war crimes. All of the top leaders of that government that rules over us. So if they're willing to do that, what the hell is wearing shoes that somebody sends you? Might as well do that.
As I said, nobody is willing to stand up.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, what are the Democrats going to be doing on the other side? And right now, I think what we've seen, given all the special elections that have occurred, and the 2025 general elections, is that the Democrats are winning in spite of themselves.
Correct. I think you're right. I think that's a good description. They're winning despite themselves.
They really given the people nothing to vote for.
Except not all of them. Some, but
in certain isolated cases, except in certain isolated cases.
Yeah.
But the people have been so set back by how the Republicans are acting and how the Trump administration is acting, the Republicans are not coming out to vote, and B, the Democrats and maybe more importantly, the independents are coming out, and it really doesn't matter much as long as you have a D after your name. People are voting for you. Now, that can't last. It might last through the general election here in 2026, but beyond that, they've got to come up with more.
They'll have to come up with more, because the Republicans will have to come up with more, because Trump can't run again.
Yeah, well, they're going to tease that as well.
Yeah.
They've been talking in 2028 as to who his successor is going to be. Is it going to be Little Marco, or is it going to be J.D.? And, whatever happened to, President-elect Nikki Haley? Remember her?
No, I don't know what happened to her.
You remember? She was going to be she was the last. She was the last one standing against Trump.
Right. Now she's nowhere.
Nobody's heard a thing about her, right?
Well, she didn't join the Republican anti-Trumpers. She didn't join the Trumpers. So what room is there for her?
Yeah. Yeah. But my feeling, I
saw think she's with Bobby Jindal. I think they're in a group together.
I was just going to mention that. The great non-white hope of the Republican Party. Bobby Jindal. Another name that's faded, rightfully so, by the way.
Right.
But I saw a question this week. Somebody asked, "Who's it going to be, JD or Marco?" And I'm of the opinion it's going to be neither. I don't know why, but the closer you get to some nominating process, there's going to be a question. They're both going to have the taint of this administration, and we'll have to see. But
Marco is being given all the credit for the wars. The articles by the insiders who claim to know what they're writing about all write that Marco is the guy that's crafted the strategies in Venezuela, Cuba, Iran. He's the guy behind it.
Well, among the three of them, Trump, Vance, and Marco, I think Marco's probably the smartest.
He may be the smartest, but the point is that the credit for the wars is going to turn into a millstone around his neck.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. Yeah. And they'll throw him over, under the bus or wherever wherever they throw them. You'll get the blame.
Marco made me do it. Exactly. And Rubio has all the pizzazz and charisma of a wet blanket.
No, you mean Vance.
Vance.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance.
Vance.
He inspires nothing.
Thiel might not have enough money to shine that guy's personality.
No, he has. He's a vicious little man.
He's kind in that regard. He's almost like the governor of Florida, who had no personality either, and got nowhere when he decided to run for president.
Exactly.
If you remember, nobody liked him.
Right, that's right. Nobody liked him, and there's nothing likable about him.
Yeah, no charisma.
Yeah,
no charisma. But anyway, I mean, this year we kind of know what the issues are. We're back to James Carville in 1992. It's the economy, stupid.
That's exactly right.
And boy.
But more importantly, in saying it's the economy, it's the inequality that's baked into the economy. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's the fact that the wealth of the country, which is, as Trump says, you know, except for the oil shock because of the war, stock market was riding highs. So you see, the economy is great. But the wealth that's created behind that, that makes the stock market great, doesn't go to the people. It goes to the 2%.
Well, and part of the financial sector is people are starting to talk about it looking like 2008 again. Some of the big hedge funds are having record withdrawals. They've had to shut down people's ability. You've seen, you know, for the last couple of years, the best investor in history, Warren Buffett, has been selling stocks and building up a cash
right
basis on things. You know, it only takes a few things to perhaps have the dam break. Hope
exactly.
not. But, you know, you know, meanwhile, to the people who don't have stocks, gasoline prices are going through the roof.
But this week was phenomenal. This week it went up 60 cents in a gallon in 1 week.
Yeah, I mean, it was like every other day I'd go by the gas stations and it would be up and up. You know, my wife and I tonight saw 370.
I saw 380.
Yeah.
Yesterday, 2 days ago, I saw at 340. The day before that, it was 320. Today, I saw 380.
The place where we saw the 370 a couple of weeks ago was at 295.
So well, Vance is not going to escape credit for that.
Yeah. And, you know, whether Trump says it's true or not, you know, he's out there saying there's gas at 199.
Yeah, where?
And everybody, yeah. Nowhere.
Exactly. Nowhere.
But people also forget with the Straits of Hormuz closed and oil not coming through, the other commodity that comes through there is fertilizer.
No, it's not fertilizer. It's the natural gas that they make the fertilizer.
Makes
the fertilizer, right.
Yeah.
And this is when it has to come through. Not next month, this month.
Sure.
Because otherwise it doesn't get to the farmers in time for the planting.
Right. you don't put the fertilizer on in August.
No.
You put it on in the spring.
And that is worldwide. That's the United States. That's India. That's South Africa. That's everywhere. All of the world depends on that natural gas fertilizer. All of it.
Well, Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe.
If they have fertilizer.
And part of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
There. And, you know, last week we changed the clocks. You know, they say spring forward. Right now what it's looking like is we've sprung backward in time. And there's no sense of getting better soon. Now,
Then there was the revision of the economic data.
Yes.
Which it turns out last year was way worse than what the Trump administration claimed. Way worse. Not only did they not make the job gains that Trump claimed they made, they ended up that the truth was that they lost on average 55,000 jobs a month, every month of the year, and the biggest loss in manufacturing. Continued.
But yeah, Trump was going to be the manufacturing president.
Yeah, he's going to bring it all back. Way, you know, way down.
Well, don't forget, well, when he fired all these government workers, what do you expect?
Yeah.
But the GDP is also grew much.
Well, that was down.
Less.
Right.
Well, that was way down. But you know, getting back to the, you know, all the firing with Doge of the government workers, we learned this week that some kid who was embedded in with Social Security decided that he could take all their data, you know, download it to his thumb drive and walk away with it.
He did that. He did do that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's 8 zillion laws, and God knows how many people are enforcing the laws to make sure that none of that data becomes public.
Yeah.
And it's all been stolen. Now it's all public. All of it.
Well, nobody's enforcing the laws against anybody in the Trump administration. No. If they do, they just get pardoned.
Exactly.
So, but I started to say there was an attempt this week, a bipartisan attempt in the Senate on a bill that was co-sponsored by the Odd Couple, Elizabeth Warren and Tim Scott, that addressed some of the issues with housing in terms of particularly limiting the amount of houses that private equity could buy, because private equity has been buying houses up, boosting prices beyond people's ability to pay or to buy a house, and then just renting them out and keeping people in perpetual rental.
At high rent, and not at low rent, at high rent.
At high rents.
Yeah.
So they have the rents, just there's probably an algorithm out there that says, what is the maximum rent we could charge that keeps people paying that, but it's lower, but it's just low enough that they can't get a mortgage or pay the same on a mortgage. And even if they could pay the same on the mortgage, they don't have the funds to put the down payment.
That's right.
On it. And of course, and the bill passed the Senate by what was it, 89-9?
It was a huge vote. Yeah, 80 some odd to nine. That's right.
Yeah, almost 90% of the Senate. And then It gets to the House of Representatives. And what's going to happen?
They're not going to take it up.
Yeah. They're
not going to take it up. And the weird thing is, one provision in that bill was a provision that Trump supported, which was not barring hedge funds from buying houses, but limiting how many houses they could buy. He supported that. Right. But he opposes taking up this bill. He only wants to have the voting bill, what's called the SAVE bill, the SAVE Act, voted on. He doesn't want any other bill passed, and he says that he won't sign any other bill until the SAVE Act is passed. The SAVE Act is the bill that is going to prevent married women from voting, all married women who can't produce their birth certificate.
And do away with mail-in voting.
Yep, do away with mail-in voting, right.
And because Donald Trump believes erroneously that that's why he lost. Well, that's why people say Joe Biden won. You know, but the SAVE Act, now it's going to come up for a vote this week in the Senate. It's passed the House. And John Cornyn caved in and said he would be for overturning the filibuster. But it still doesn't. John Toon doesn't. The Senate Majority Leader says he's not going to push for that. And
he says he doesn't have the votes for it. He says he can't get the votes for it.
Yeah. Well, he can't get the votes if he doesn't push for it either. But
that's
I don't think he's going to get the votes. Right. And the one Democrat who they might have been counting on, John Fetterman, said, I'm not going for this.
Right.
So they got to find, eight or nine or 10 Republicans, and they're not.
They need to find 9 or 10 Democrats.
They're not going to do that.
Oh.
We'll see what that's probably going to go down.
Then if Trump lives up to what he claims he's going to do, he's not going to sign any more bills, period.
Yeah.
Now, it's not like he signs many bills anyway. They don't pass any bills.
No, he just, and that's what he wants. He just rules by edict.
By edict, right? Exactly. Exactly.
We're back to executive orders.
Right, right.
And then the courts say that those are unenforceable, and then they disregard the courts or they appeal. And then the Supreme Court, depending on what the bill does, decides that we're going to suspend the blockage until we get around to deciding it. There was that discussion between Ketanji Brown Jackson and was it Brett Kavanaugh a couple weeks ago?
Yeah,
where they went at this, and so we'll see. And I don't know. Trump hasn't made many friends on that Supreme Court.
And he insulted all of them.
Yeah. Now, if except for things that restrict people's voting, John Roberts isn't as interested.
Right. That's right.
So you know, we have that coming up.
Meanwhile, we have some effects of the monkeying around with public health that Kennedy does at the Department of Health, because now North Carolina, I'm sorry, Florida has joined South Carolina in the measles epidemic.
Right.
A disease that had been wiped out from the United States, did not exist, is now an epidemic in two big states.
Yeah, Florida is a much bigger state than South Carolina.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I always say you can't fool Mother Nature.
I mean, two
these people
two
actually have a warped philosophy. There's people who are pushing this that have a warped philosophy that it's better for people to get sick and try to build an immunity that way than to be immune in the first place and not get sick.
It worked with the Black Death, didn't it?
Yes. People have to suffer. They believe.
Right.
They believe suffering is good, that it builds character.
Yeah, your suffering, not theirs.
No, well.
What
works in the third person doesn't always work in the first person.
Exactly, exactly. Coming close to home, you told me something very interesting and I think very important about the Dixon City Council, the police chief of Dixon City, and ICE.
Yeah. The police chief decided to sign an agreement of cooperation with ICE, but he didn't go through council with the mayor, which is the only way that it could be done. And the council, forced that agreement to be nullified.
Dixon City, now, for people who don't know, is a suburb of Scranton.
Yes. And then down in Luzerne County, most Hispanic city, Hazleton, which is a majority Hispanic city, they did go through the council and the mayor, and they did come to a cooperation agreement, which is really interesting given the demographics.
But it's a Republican council.
Republican council. Well, yeah. You know, years ago when Lou Barletta started his war against Hispanics, he was the mayor,
mm-hmm.
later the congressman from down there. Caused a lot of people to leave the town and cost the city a lot of money on a lawsuit that was brought against them. This is not going to help the city gain population at all. It's been growing after so many years of stagnation.
And the county that it's in is key to Republican strength in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and it's going to be the key to the Bresnahan reelection bid.
Yeah.
He's from Luzerne County.
Yeah.
And he didn't help himself this week when Politico found that he'd boasted on a radio talk show that he periodically met with his financial advisor to discuss what stocks they would be in or out of.
Which he denied having done.
Right. But there's tape of that.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's if this is winning, we're winning.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see it. This week we have St. Patrick's Day and spring officially starts. Like I said, let's hope we can spring forward. But right now it seems like we're falling back.
Except that people are not voting Republican.
That's true. We'll take that up next week.
We'll take it up next week. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.